This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, August 25th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we have some distinguished guests in studio who's talking about a new program that the government, the ministries, I'm not even saying necessarily government, I need to correct that narrative, right? Religious figures have come together to correct, to assist families. Is actually a family violence program. And I'm going to get more detail about the narrative on how it started, why it started, and how Bahamians need to get involved, how they could benefit from the program again. The program is called Tamar, right? It's from the Bible, actually. It's a story that most Bahamians are not familiar with, but it's a story about family. I think that's dissonance when you see things that don't actually say what's happening or get yourself involved. But when the family structure is not nice and someone did not do what they should do, but I'm going to get a better narrative for the whole story. We have in studio a Reverend Angela Palacios. Of course, we have Reverend Cheryl Carroll and Miss DeAndre Miller, who is a part of the Tamar program. When we're going to start now, we can start with Miss Palacios, Reverend Palacios, and she's going to go in detail or give a narrative of how, when, and why. What is Tamar? Tamar, how was it this all is involved, and why you decided to do it? So without further ado, welcome, Reverend Palacios.
Thank you. My joy to be here with you. We began discussing the whole concept of family violence during COVID, when the statistics began to increase. And the we was, I was at that time, recently retired, the Anglican hospital chaplain. And I spoke with our bishop about what we were hearing, the escalation. And he said, yes, we can go ahead and have a think tank. So Dr. Sandra Dean Patterson and Ms. Leela Green and Terry Fountain, we had a group of us virtually, of course, discussing how could we respond to what we're hearing. And so out of that think tank came the concept of prevention. And so the mentoring program, and we made it a school mentoring program. So you'll hear more from Ms. Miller about that. Fifth grade, and we've now expanded to seventh grade. So this year we're on board with L.W. Young, and we are sending information to other guidance counselors to see if their principals approve. They can get on board as well. But L.W. Young is our pilot, but we will expand now. We realize the cry has come. We heard Principal H.O. Nash asking about programs, and so we're expanding. So we've got the Tamar program was eventually the umbrella proposal that we offered to Bishop. And Tamar is a young woman who is King David's daughter. Her half-brother is Amnon. And her full brother is Absalom. And Amnon wants to have with his sister. And he devises this plan where he is going to pretend to be sick. He's going to ask for her to bring him some soup. And then when she comes, and this is a friend of his, the two of them concoct the plan, he sends all the servants out. And he proceeds to rape her. But before, she says to him, why don't you marry me? Because he said, I've been in love with you all this time, etc. She said, Daddy will agree for you for this. In those days, that culture, that was possible. But he chose not to. And then, of course, as often is the case, he then just wants to get rid of her immediately. So he has her put out that same day. Mm. And her brother Absalom sees her because you rent your garments when you're in grief. And he sees her distress, and he guesses what happened because he knew she had gone to this house. And he says, come home with me. So David does nothing. Absalom seems to do nothing. Amnon has gotten away with it. And 2 years later, Absalom kills Amnon for raping his sister. And so this whole dysfunction in the family, of course, has come from David having had Bathsheba's husband killed so that he, who had impregnated her, could have the child born, and then the child dies, etc. And so out of all of this family history comes this event. And so we chose to highlight Tamar and the whole sense of what is going on in the family,
unfortunately. The trauma she went through.
Right, and that, that represents the trauma of incest, the trauma of family violence, the whole. And so we have the mentoring program, we have the parenting program, and Reverend Cheryl will tell you more about that, and we have the perpetrator counseling program where we train persons using Dr. Allen's family support group to journey with them while they come to healing and wholeness and wellness for the family. So we have a Joshua group for males and an Esther group for women. So we've kept all the biblical names to try and help people to appreciate what the Bible has to offer. And so the mentoring is prevention. The parenting is partly prevention for those who are borderline and intervention for those for whom the courts send. And then the perpetrator counseling is for persons who are not incarcerated, but who obviously have been reported or have an issue, et cetera. And we are wanting those persons to acknowledge they need help. So we've met with court magistrates, and they're going to be working with us. But I want my team to be able to get into their areas of ministry. But that's to give you an overview. We also make a donation to Crisis Center and to Lynx and to the Domestic Violence New Unit. Both Reverend Carol and myself are on that task force. So we wanted a holistic approach with prevention, intervention, transformation. We wanted to get in there and make a difference in the nation ecumenically. We have community leaders. We just are partnering with whoever is willing to partner with us so that we can make a difference.
Okay. So the overarching program is called Tamar Program.
The Tamar Project, right?
Project. And then you have different segments of the Tamar Project,
right,
that goes in detail.
Different focus.
And you're saying that it's not a domestic violence, it's family violence?
Yes. We chose the concept of family violence because most people presume that domestic violence is partners, that kind of intimate partnership. But what we realize is you have adolescents who are terrorizing parents. You have parents who are violent toward their children. You have siblings violent toward each other. But you also have caregivers that can be violent toward the elderly or the caregiver. So you can have any number of forms of violence under the roof where these persons live together as family. And so we broadened the concept to make sure that it wasn't just dismissed as something between intimate partners.
And before we introduce the other guests to hear their focus, right, is the Tamar Project government-sponsored? How do you get money to do what you are doing, this mentoring and facilitating thing?
The diocese has a small budget.
And you say the diocese, you mean the Anglican diocese?
Yeah, the Anglican diocese has a small budget because I am the director of pastoral care for the Anglican diocese. But I am in a voluntary capacity now that I've retired as hospital chaplain. And what it is, you just asked me, funding.
Ooh,
yes,
funding.
We have an anonymous donor, mm-hmm. and we are, of course, open to funding, but we have managed our money in such a way that we could share with others. We give a small stipend to the mentors, and you'll hear about that. We give a small amount to the group leaders for the groups, and when people are presenters in our training, we give them, we have remuneration for them, we have party for the children. So you'll hear if you want more details.
I'm going to ask you some more questions.
The finances, but yes, we are in that way nonprofit, and we are always open, but we make we do what we can as good stewards of the money that we have received.
Is it government funded at all? No stipend?
No.
So it's Anglican Diocese and whatever kindness of any Bohemian who comes forward and says, I see what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you could need some more money.
Well, we're happy if government can, but we know that there are many demands on government's funds at this time. So we wanted to make sure that the program is not dependent on anything that would be up as much as possible. So we try. But we do have one or two persons that we've approached, etc. But for the most part, we've not tried to tax government on this.
I understand.
If we expand to the schools, though, then we'll have to.
Yes.
If we get all these schools
involved. And now that you have L.W. Young.
And we're in 9 family islands, so you'll hear about that. And we've got other Nassau ones being already primary school. So the junior high is this beginning for the first time in September.
Okay. Let's speak to Reverend Cheryl Carroll.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure.
You have a focus in the Tamar project. And what is the focus of your committee?
Well, the focus, thank you so much for having us. The focus is two aspects. One is the virtual parenting program.
Virtual parenting
program. Virtual parenting program. Reverend Palacios and I, when I worked at social services, I retired 2 years ago from social services after 36 and a half years. And so Reverend Palacios and I was the coordinator for the program under the Department of Social Services. And Reverend Palacios and I worked closely together within that program. She was one of the facilitators. And when I retired, she made the observation, why don't you just come and help us? Because as she explained that these are some of the things that we are involved with. And so I readily agreed. And prior to that, she and I had communicated about the concerns that she expressed earlier, what we were seeing happening in the society, happening with family violence and all of it. And so I just continued doing, once I retired, I just continued doing what I was doing at social services. But it's now virtual because after COVID, we found that it was, more effective and meaningful. And so now we have the virtual parenting
And I want to
program.
Go in detail that, what you mean by virtual parenting and how, but before then, Reverend Palacios mentioned that during COVID, the numbers seemingly spiked. I know.
In terms of the violence, yes.
I know, I was doing some research about recessions and doing some research about when people are forced to stay home and forced to be
confined
mm-hmm. and what happens. And when I was doing the research, they said there tends to be a lot of domestic violence, tends to be a lot of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And are you saying that during COVID, the various resources saw that was happening?
That's what we understood, yes.
And that's why this whole Tamar project came about.
I think that's one of the catalysts for it coming forward. And and with the virtual parenting program, they do not now want to readily come into a in-space.
Mm-hmm.
And but they do come into in-space. Let me say we collaborate with the government. The government has a national parenting program. And so we collaborate with them. They have their program in the day on the Tuesday, and we do the virtual program in the evening. It's every Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30. And like Reverend Palacios said, the individuals are referred through the courts, as well as they can walk in or they can call and say they're interested in the program.
So what is the program exactly? I want to visualize it.
The program is, we have 12 weeks. We have facilitators who present on varied topics that we feel the families can benefit from. The power of forgiveness, finances, discipline, communication, parent-child relationship, fathers, the importance of having our fathers. So these are some of the things that we share with the parents and we give. It's like a psychoeducational then.
Mm-hmm.
We provide them that they can utilize personally as well as with their relationship with them and their children. some that I've heard of parents who said to me, my child stole $50 from me, and I took his hand and I put his hand on the stove.
So they can learn.
And So they that's what they say, so they can learn. And I saw the scar where the two fingers are meshed together. Mm-hmm. So our thing with the virtual and in person is, let us provide you with information whereby you can find a more positive way of dealing with that child.
So how do you get your clients?
We do virtual, just like we're doing now. We can come on the radio.
No, but I mean, how I know to go to you. Yeah,
right. But this is what I'm saying now.
Okay,
we promote it through the, like we say, just how we're having the show, we promote it through the Guardian, the media, through the Nassau Guardian and the Tribune, the ads. We put it on social media.
Cable
TV.
Okay.
And we it's in the bulletins within the Anglican Diocese, all of the churches. Mm-hmm. So we spread the information.
And ad would say what exactly?
The ad would say that free virtual parenting program Thursdays, 5:30 to 7:30, and it gives you the site, it gives you the Zoom, and it gives you an email and a phone contact that you can communicate and say you have an interest.
So
and once you do that, and the positive parenting for today.
What's that?
The name of it is the positive parenting for today.
Uh-huh.
That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Positive parenting for today. And so once once the people see the ad, they will contact us and say they're interested. And as in collaboration with the National Parenting Program, Social Services National Parenting Program, those persons who cannot do the day session, they are referred to us to be a part, participate in the virtual. You see? And so those who can do the virtual, they go to the day session. So it's a collaboration there. So now on the day that we have the session, we have facilitators who are trained to present the information on that particular day. Say, we begin now next week, Thursday, Reverend Palacios will be the presenter on the power of forgiveness. So we have that session, the power of forgiveness. The following week, somebody will prevent on effective communication between you and your child.
So it's a series.
12 weeks. Mm-hmm. 12 weeks. And at the end of the 12 weeks, in collaboration with social services, we have a graduation whereby persons are provided with a certificate indicating that they would have completed the parenting program. And when the courts refer them, we have to provide information or report to the court saying that they have completed the requirements of the classes, send that certificate to the court. Now, the court then deem them, you've met the requirement, whatever it is that they need to do as a result of that.
So I want you to walk me through something. Now, I'm the host, right? But I'm listening now. So I'm the listening audience, right? I'm hearing you speak, right? I happen to read the information in the bulletin and say, I need help. I need help. And so I want you to walk me through the steps.
You call make a number. Contact. You call a number
call
or
a
you
number
send me an email.
Or send an email.
Once you call me or send an email,
mm-hmm.
we have an online application, the application that you can fill out.
So I followed an application.
Online.
Okay.
Right. You don't have to come in person. We email that application to you. Once that is completed, then we say to you, these are the days that we have the classes.
Okay.
We give you the link.
Are you going to pay for this or anything?
No.
It's free.
All free.
Okay, good.
We give you the link, and on the day that we start, you sign in at that point in time, and you are now in.
Enrolled.
In the program.
And I follow the courses.
And you follow the courses. And like I said, at the end of the 12 weeks, we have a graduation, provide you with a certificate saying that you have met the requirements.
I like that. That's doable.
Yes.
And I like the idea that I could do this by myself. I don't have to go to the courts.
Yes.
And have the court order me that I got to attend. I could call and say, I need to be a part of this.
Exactly.
I have some issues with my child and I need some advice.
And we've had persons who've done that. They said, we've had persons who are not even parents yet, but they said they want to get some information
mm-hmm.
to help them and help prepare them. And we have persons who are engaged, We have persons who were just newly married.
So I could be like getting engaged, and yes. I saying I want to speak about some things.
Yes,
but definitely. Make sure this marriage thing work.
Yes,
and I can just come.
Yes,
that's nice.
You definitely can just in.
I told
in the
for
session.
People who have an issue.
No. Anyone who need and want information, if you just want to be a part of it, like I said, somebody who said, you know what, I'm not a parent yet, but I just want to get some information.
Make sure I have a good parent.
There are some persons who are just guardians of their siblings. Or whether it is a blended family, and they said they want to get information as to how they can be effective in dealing with their family. And so,
who wants to engage us, right? So we have this caller come through. But is this an Anglican thing, or any denomination could come?
Well, it's a Bahamian thing.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Listen, Reverend Palacios already told you, I'm a Baptist clergy. So,
and we have Bishop Hewlett Hanna as a presenter. We have Dr.
There's all denominations.
All denominations.
And lay people.
And lay people too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have housewives who've been trained. We have. You know, you name
from
it.
Different aspects,
from
then.
Different aspects, yes.
Mindfulness is one of them. And she's
mindfulness.
I want,
right.
I can talk about men soon because I want to talk about how men can get empowered. But let's go to the caller first. And then I want to talk about the youth because, you know, I have Miss Millie here. So I want to get her involved in this conversation. Let's go call the Guardian Radio AM. Caller, can you hear us? Caller, girl, one. Okay, I heard you. Oh, hang up. You can call back, caller. We're happy to engage you and join in this conversation. But we also have Miss D. Oh, the caller, call back. Patrick True, quickly there, Kermit. Go ahead, Cole. I'm sorry.
Yeah, good morning to you, and good morning to you again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And by the way, you have some good guests in there. I met Ms. Palacios back in the 90s when I had moved into San Susie. And they were always neighborly. They invited us to coffee just to introduce ourselves, which I thought was good. But I've been an advocate for fathers, single fathers, children born out of wedlock, which is a big percentage of us in the Bahamas. And I also been looking at these high numbers of child abuse. From July 13th, 2003, we've been at this, trying to get government, successive government, to look at these deep social issues that is plaguing our community. And by the way, the only person, this seems to be an easy fix, because the only person who are killing up one another are persons. The white behemoths isn't doing this thing. The foreigners the expatriates who we invite into the Bahamas, they're not killing up one another. The only people who are killing up one another, and by the way, just had another murder just a few yards away from where I'm standing. And I don't know the details of it, so I wouldn't want to preempt anything, but someone was shot and killed again. But my point that I'm trying to make is, for the last 22 years, I've been at this, and I saw the numbers. In 2007, I said that if the government don't look at addressing these deep social issues, we'll be doing over triple digits. Imagine this. A small archipelago nation like the Bahamas, where the world standard is 5 murders per 100,000. We are living in this small country where most of the murders happen on this 207 island, where we are doing over 100 murders per year, annually, on a consistent basis. The numbers of child abuse has skyrocketed. We have been averaging around 400-500 reported cases for over 20 years. And we know these numbers. For each one that goes reported, at least 3 or 4 goes unreported. So you see where we are. But why are we keep missing? No matter what program we come up with, we keep missing it. What do you think is really going on, Father Palacios? Why we keep missing it. Despite some people's greatest effort, we keep missing it.
So I'll let Reverend Palacios answer that. Why we keep on missing? That's advocate, Clever Duncombe just speaking now. He's advocate for young boys and fathers in general. Thanks, man. We keep on talking about it. We used to talk plenty, bag them out. But it seems that the problem still seeps with us. Just recently, not being political, one of the political parties put forward their crime report on how they're going to address crime. There was a response by when an advocate said, if you don't address the family, this crime thing you're talking about, I can do this and I can do that, it ain't gonna never work. Going back to Clever, saying, why we keep on missing it?
I'm going to have to give you a basically spiritual answer. We are in spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. we are under attack. We are an amazing nation with gifted people. Where we go anywhere in the world, what we touch turns to gold. People rise to the top of any profession. And so I am convinced that this is a target to destroy us as a people because we have so much potential. And that's why we have worked ecumenically. That's why we work with community. We have to join together with persons of like mind to say, look, what is the battle that our people are battling? If it's poverty, if it's lack of social life, positive social neglect, what is it that is going on in the family, in the home? And that's the conversation that we had during COVID, looking at where is the church going to make a difference, our church. Because other churches, many people are trying to do many things. And so we resolved that we needed to be on the firing line. And because of the people that we had in the think tank, we came up with all of these approaches, children, parents, perpetrators, victims, that as many different approaches that you could take would help you to be able to see what are the results. And when Reverend Carol was talking, I remembered that we are moving even more firmly into evidence-based research so that we can document what are the parents saying, normally at graduation, because we share the graduation with social services and we share all the presenters, et cetera. People will speak at the graduation. But we've resolved that we want every person to fill out an evaluation to say, how effective has this program been before and after? And Ms. Miller will talk about the pre- and post-inventory for the children, for their parents, for the teachers, and the mentors to fill out. Because we need evidence that what we are doing is effective.
It's working.
And what it is that we could do more of or less of or better. And so to keep an ongoing developing program. And so that's where the journey is. But to go back to the question, we are wanting our men and boys to know how valuable they are to us. And the enemy is seeking to destroy that seed. So we are having to get in there with our boys early, with the male mentors, to be able to influence them. We have male parents that are in the program. And, of course, we have male perpetrators and female perpetrators. So we're trying to go to the basic problem of how we are socializing our people, where the nurture is lacking in the family. But it's a spiritual thing. We need it. I can't say it more clearly. We need the Lord, and we need Jesus to come into our homes and hearts. And we have that level of love that allows us to have a vision of possibility that goes beyond what we can see with just our natural eye.
We have representative of the Tamar Project. They're talking about family violence and how they are dealing with it and how they are helping Bahamians overcome such. We have in studio, we have Reverend Angela Palacios, we have Reverend Cheryl Carroll, and of course we have Miss DeAndre Miller, who I'm going to come back and speak directly to because she deals with the youth. She's dealing with the youth and the issues and how the issues that the parents are having with children are having with parents, and how she is giving them the tools to deal with that. So I'm going to come back and speak with her. They're going to talk with the man them. Just three women inside studio, no?
Amen.
I want to know, is there men inside this program that I can go to and say, man, I have man problems. Man problems. I don't want to talk to no Reverend Palacios. You know? I want to talk about man problems. I need a male to talk to. Yes. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging.
Vital Rest, the road with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back-to-school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's back to school night at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchard, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marco's, Wendy's.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to receive a call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have a representative of the Tamar Project. Before we go into break, I know Miss Reverend Carol wanted to say something. And of course, after that, we go directly to Miss DeAndre Miller, who controls the youth arm of the Tamar Project.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I just wanted to add, piggyback on what Reverend Palacios has said in terms of the spiritual aspect, because the caller questioned what, you know, what can be done, what is being done. And I too believe that it is really a spiritual aspect. There are five areas that a person is functioning. You know, you have the spiritual, the emotional, psychological, and all of these aspects that a person functions as. But if we function a four out of the five, at least still dysfunctional. So we can have all of those social programs to give to our children and our people. But if we leave the spiritual out of it, which is the foundation, I believe, if we leave that important part out of the equation, then we are just, like you said, going around the mountains. Yes, we can give information, and yes, there are psychiatrists, psychologists, other persons who are impacting and doing an awesome job. Unfortunately, we don't hear a lot about it. But spiritually, your heart is changed. You accept Jesus Christ, God is in control. Your heart is changed. When your heart is changed, your mind is renewed.
Mm.
Without renewing the mind and changing the heart, we continue to do the same thing.
Okay.
So the mind and the heart has to be changed. And I think Jesus Christ, like Reverend Palacia said, is the core, because we can do everything else. But when we leave, don't become misnomer with church. You know, because there are so many things we can say about the church. We're talking about a relationship. I have a relationship with my husband. That relationship causes us to grow in our marriage.
Okay.
When I break that relationship, things happen. If I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he renews my mind, changes my heart, and my attitude and my behavior changes.
Amen. Relationship. Amen. That's you, Miss Miller, now.
Amen.
We have concerns with our youth. I remember reading some statistics the other day where they said people at UB, the girls, believe their boyfriend's supposed to discipline them when they do things off. Right? I want to know, what are you doing to fix the issues we have with amongst our children right now? How is your program, your focus in the Tamar Project? What is your goal, your objective, your mandate? How you fix us?
Big question. Thank you. So we understand that to effect change in our young people, there's also a parenting aspect to the program, right? So we do understand that there's some foundational work that needs to happen, which is why this is a great relationship that's happening within the Tamar program. Specific to our young people, the Power Up program, which was designed in collaboration with the
Dr. Novia
Carty, Carter Loki, excuse me. I was trying to remember the name of the department.
Oh yeah, Drug Council.
She's the National Drug Council. So with her, with the collaboration of that department and her creating the work, we are mandated to help young people build five core pillars, which is self-discovery, resilience and mindset, communication and leadership, goal setting and action, and connection and community. What does that mean? For self-discovery, we're helping them build their self-esteem. So if I have high self-esteem, I'm not looking for a gentleman to come in my adult years, in my later teen years, to tell me that because at in grades 5, 6, and 7, I've already learned, I love me. This is how I want to be treated. So you either follow suit or you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when we talk about resilience and mindset, we cannot avoid bad things happening. In our world, we're going to experience heartbreak and pain. What we teach them with this program is how you get up from that.
So who do you focus on? Your section, your focus. Is it children or the parents?
My section focuses on the children, but okay. We also have, so we are 12 weeks as well,
mm-hmm.
right? So there must be a magic thing in the 12.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 of our 12 weeks is all about the young people, right? Grades 5, 6, and 7. But 2 of those weeks, we interact with parents. That's the goal. We don't always get to achieve it, but that's the goal. And what we're looking at there is we've built these foundational principles into these young people, or highlighted them, because it's not where we're in the schools. It's not that they're not getting it in the schools. We're trying to shore it up, right? We're trying to make sure that it's properly grounded and reiterated over and over and over. But you don't want to do that, and then you send them back home.
Same environment.
Exactly, right? So wanting to make sure, look, we have this, sometimes it's new information, sometimes it's information that we did learn from our own parents, and then the pressures of life we've forgotten, or we've put it aside, or we don't do it as often.
Do you deal with children who are being abused, physically, emotionally, mentally?
So I would say not specifically that they've come to us because they've been abused. It is uncovered while we're in the program. Mm.
Ah.
Right? So, and then for that, because we have lay people, it's not, you know, you're not necessarily trained in psychology or whatever, then we refer to the guidance counselor, and we say, look, there's some behavior here that's happening. But again, even as I say that, the school is already aware,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just a matter of confirming. And then in 9 out of 10 cases, when we transition that to the counselor, we know.
But how do you or your program gets involved? Because I understand how Reverend Carol gets involved, but do you get you the courts and you? How do you get your clients?
Oh, we're planted in the school. So start off as a predominantly Anglican situation. Mm-hmm. So of course we're in Anglican schools, but it's not just that. We're also in places like E.P. Roberts. We're in Sandilands Primary is doing amazing things. They invited us in. So to see them work with the material is also been heartwarming and inspiring. We're in the Family Islands. We're in CYM, Christian Youth Movements or Ministry. Some of our mentors there have been using the program in groups. So it's not necessarily court mandated. It is that we are in an environment where young people already are, and then we're exposing them to the information. Sometimes that's in school, during school hours for an hour, 1 hour every week for 10 to 12 weeks, or it's after school. We prefer the in school, but you know, wherever the school tells us is the best place for them, where we know we're going to get the young people, is where we activate.
So what is your program's objective? You're inside the school. So what is the goal? I'm here, and I'm trying to get there. What is the goal?
Self-discovery, resilience, better communication, goal setting, and community and connection.
What if I'm in church, and I have home, right? And I recognize that my child needs some additional support. How do I get involved with you?
That's a great question. So right now, I don't think we are separated as in call me and then I will put you into a program. So I would say if you are someone that would like this program for your individual child, let's expand that. We've gone from you're now speaking to me as an advocate, maybe take action and ask us to come into your community and have the program.
That's possible. Come and explain some things.
Absolutely. The only hindrance to us would be, is there a mentor to step in to be able to do that? So now I'm going to call to action. The advocate that just came on the radio and was like, and you said he's an advocate for young boys and men. I don't know this story, but is he actioning? Is he just calling on the radio?
No, he's active. Okay. I mean, he's a prominent figure now.
Okay.
He's loud.
I don't know who he is.
Clever Duncan Loud. Clever Duncan Loud. Oh, God.
Forgive my youth.
Yeah, no problem. Clever Duncan Loud. Go ahead.
But that we need more of him then, right? We don't want to just hear you say there's a problem. We need you to be one of those people that says, I see that there's a problem. You have determined that you are the solution. Let me come and help you. Right? And in coming to help you, we're going to come and train you in that help.
You're going to train too?
Can't just have you come off the street.
I did. Okay, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
So you're trained and you're vetted. So that's important too. With interacting with young people, you do have situations where people with not so good intentions will try to bring themselves into situations where they have access. We don't want them. So there is a vetting process.
I have a text who wants to be engaged. So let me read the text, right? It says, I believe in God's power to save and to transform, but can this program be effective for those persons who don't believe in God or desire to have a relationship with God? Can this program be implemented and effective without a faith-based focus? Example, teaching adults, children to share, to love, and how to present themselves with decorum.
So I'm going to let the reverence answer right. that, but I want to just say one thing. It is my perspective that everything is faith-based. Mm-hmm. We may not call it that, but whether we want to or not, our morals come from faith. Mm-hmm. Our ethics come from faith, right? So we're using it whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Very good point. And if I can jump on that, yes, to the person who texted, yes, you can be involved without acknowledging a relationship with God, but we stress at the beginning of the program that it is faith-based. Everybody is entitled to how they run their program, but if you become involved with this program, we're going to say to you it's faith-based, but that is not a requirement for you to engage in the program. Let me give you two quick examples with two males. We had a young man, if you go on Facebook right now, I do not even remember his name. Last year, we had the graduation ceremony for the parenting program. And he posted it on Facebook. He and his baby's mama used to get into so much discord because of their way of communicating with each other. Mm-hmm. After he completed the program, listen, his daughter was so happy. He said he and the baby mama were communicating and things. But he just recognized there were some things he needed to adjust. there were some things she needed to adjust. The information that they received, they incorporated into their lives and made a difference personally and in the life of their child. That's one. The second one is we had a male who was referred to the perpetrators. We call it the Joshua group. Mm-hmm. And this is the Joshua group. We have the Joshua and the Esther group for family violence. In the Joshua group, we had a male who came out of prison, participated in the program. And his thing was, he was having such a challenge with his relationship. Being a part of that group, he was able, because of the confidentiality and the acceptance, we call it the safe space. And the safe space, he was able to share personally what he was going through. That man wept. Mm. Because that was the first time he had a space where he was able to honestly share mm-hmm. his feelings, share what was happening with him. And so, yes, and he did not acknowledge himself as no Christian or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He needed an environment where he was accepted, yes. acknowledged, validated, and was able to safely share how he felt. And because of that, his life was changed.
And that's across all the programs.
That's all the programs.
All the programs.
So I know you all have a number of activities you all yes. are doing, right? But I wonder, quickly, is it men and the Esters for women? Yes. And this is part of the Tamar yeah. project also, and you join into these communities.
That's the perpetrator counseling.
The perpetrator right. counseling. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. just reiterating, it's a perpetrator counseling. Mm-hmm. Then there is the...
Power Up Youth Mentorship Program.
Say it again.
Power Up Youth Mentorship Program.
And they're the two main umbrellas?
And then the parenting.
And then there's the parenting. Yeah. So
positive
three.
Parenting
three.
For today.
Okay, right. yes. just making sure. Right. Now, let's go talk about some activities. Okay. What's happening?
Well, we are having, first of all, a virtual mentor training for the mentors in that program. It starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. And that's for part one. And part two is on Tuesday.
Russian? Who can join that?
Well, okay. I just wanted to put out the dates.
No problem.
So it's this Tuesday and it's next Tuesday. Right. Virtual parenting. And so virtual mentoring. And so
there are four
persons that are involved. And we have a flyer and I'll get that information for you. We have a flyer that's out. And you have four contacts, two for male and two for men, because we didn't mention, but the children are divided into groups of five students within the classroom. So you've got all these different groups, and a male mentor is with the boys and a female mentor is with the girls. Right. And the idea is a small group allows the children to talk more easily among themselves. So they have 10-minute presentation of material, and then they have 20 minutes of activity. So the mentor training is to allow the mentors to be exposed to the material. So they get to see what this information is about, and then they get to experience the activity that will reinforce the teaching. And so that's why it's part one and two, to make sure they cover the 10 topics that they're going to be dealing with. When they're 12 weeks in a school, vaping and gangs and things like that can be added as extra topics if the principals. Schools that we are in, Exuma and Eleuthera and Long Island and Rumkey and San Salvador and all over, if they want certain things, they can have that in addition as well. So those are the expanding mentor program.
So it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 26th, tomorrow at 7, and Tuesday, the September 2nd.
Okay. And can I just mention, we do have a website that's launched now where you can sign up. So the website address is www.pcmbtci.com. So Pastoral Care Ministries. We are a part of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. So it's just the first letter of each of those words.
Okay. Right? Give it again one more time.
www.pcm, Pastoral Care Ministry, www.pcmbtci.com.
Okay, and I can go there and get more information and to sign up?
Correct.
And you're saying sign up there to be people who want to be mentors?
Correct.
Or, okay.
Yes, correct. Yes.
There's also in there, there's, you know, you can do extra prayer requests. You can, by the end of the week, we'll be able to sign up for the perpetrator counseling lay readers as well.
Okay, continue. What else happening?
The virtual sessions begin on September the 4th. September 4th at 5:30.
That's next week.
Right. Yeah. And that will run for the 12 weeks.
And what is that about?
That's the parenting that Reverend Carol is talking about.
If I need parental counseling or parental ideas, I sign up for that.
Right.
Yes. And that starts next week, Thursday.
Right.
Okay.
4th of September. And then we have a prayer retreat that's going on for persons who may be interested. But we have the Healing Conference. It's October 17th to 18th.
What's a Healing Conference?
That's at All Saints Anglican Church. That's okay. Where you come in to hear speakers talk about different topics. So, again, family-focused.
Okay.
And so we're dealing, the theme for the diocese is family, but as the nation is focusing on the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have perpetrator counseling training. That's going to be the 3rd to the 8th of November. Though that begins on the 3rd of November, and it runs for the 12 weeks to the 8th of December.
Repeat that name again.
That's the perpetrator counseling training. So if you want to be a leader in these small support groups, the mm-hmm. Joshua Group and Esther Group, we train laypersons. But we also have persons like Dr. Richard Adley, Dr. Nelson Clark, Dr. David Allen. We have those persons as a part of the training team mm-hmm. to make sure that people have enough of what they have, persons that they can go to that are professional, because we offer individual counseling as well. And then you have these lay counselors.
If I'm a youth leader, can I take advantage of these opportunities?
And everybody. We've trained the brigade leaders. We'll be working with the defense force. So anybody that's interested, we're more than happy to train.
Oh, good.
And then we have even mission trips where we do prayer visits to the islands to help with their youth programs and to help with other programs. So we are on the move as much as we can.
You'd ask about the involvement of the men, mm-hmm. and that is what we desperately need, male volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of females who are coming and are involved.
So how can men, like people like Clever Duncan, volunteer? Give them some information.
It's the same. Once we make the contact, we have the flyers out. You make the contact, 552-2469, that's I know that's my personal number, and then you, Reverend Palacios' number is listed, the Anglican Diocese head office where Miss Miller is.
Do you all have any Facebook page? I like Facebook.
Yes, she does have a Facebook. Yeah.
What's
this
Facebook page? I'm a social media person.
So just remember Pastoral Care Ministry, PCM, and then you can find us from there. So for Facebook, it's PCM, BTC as well. For the website, same thing. So for Instagram, it's _BTCI. But we managed to get all of the social media sites have the same domain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can actually go there and get more information because, you know, this show went quickly. I want to reinforce the information and say, boy, I forget what they say. I go to Facebook and get that flyer.
I go website first. Because that's built out and has a lot more information. And then they all link you to the various social channels.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook, Instagram, and we have developed a YouTube channel, but it's not as active yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the key there is as we get more involved in this relationship, then we'll start posting things.
Mentioned LDM a couple times.
It's just for the seniors now. So we've been dealing with the primary school age young people. So now we're getting into the grade sevens and it's the same material. We're just changing the activity so that it's a little bit more grown up. We're changing the scenarios because they're getting exposed. I mean, the little ones getting exposed too,
mm-hmm.
but we're able to get a little bit more in depth with them and not have that anxiety that maybe we're exposing, you know, the babies where we know mm-hmm. seventh graders
mm-hmm.
In large part have already at least heard about it.
Yes. And so Reverend Palacios, I know you have support by the courts and stuff like that. If I'm not ordered by the court to attend, you say, I can go and look up and say, I want to participate.
Oh, yeah. We want prevention more than cure.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to get people before they have to be sent.
And you're saying that if I'm a youth group leader, right, dealing with mentoring men or women and counseling in general, that you're willing to train me?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And it's free. I just need to go and sign up.
Whole thing is free.
You get all the information.
Whole free. Just want to be consistent. Yeah. We just want to.
We need 10 weeks of your time.
Ten weeks of your time. And it's like... like 1 hour a week? How does that? How is that?
For the most part, the material is executed within 45 minutes.
45 minutes
for the children. For the children. The training for the mentoring is just the two evenings.
Yeah.
Now, the training for the parenting, for the perpetrator counseling, that training is the 12 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and the parenting, if people want to be facilitators, they can be trained
as well.
When I say young mothers, I talk about young parents, because I shouldn't just say young mothers. Young parents, you say, boy, I can be a daddy now. I need some support.
Can I come and sign up? Come sign up.
So young daddies can come and sign up.
Everybody. And that's why daytime for those who want to do social services at John F. Kennedy right there opposite the police college. That is in the face-to-face. And then the virtual is Thursdays, 5:30, so that you can be at
home. Quick resolution. I have a young baby, and my baby mama difficult. Can I come and get some counseling?
All of that is a part of it.
And I appreciate
you. Everything.
Give me a phone contact before we leave. Some phone contacts and email again.
2469 CFraserCarol@gmail.com.
AngelaPalacios@gmail.com 359-3149.
Okay, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much to Ms. DeAndre Miller, Reverend Angela Palacios, and of course, Reverend Cheryl Carroll. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Pay attention, she was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Cause I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.